before, haven't you?
Like, there are some gifts that you receive that you definitely remember. They're very memorable. There was one gift that I got from my brother when we were teenagers, and I will never, for the rest of my life, forget what he got me. It was Christmas Eve when he wrapped it, and he put it under the tree, and that's when I saw it. It was this massive box with green wrapping paper and a tag on it that said, "To Sean." And so I saw it, and I was like, wow, this big thing for me. This is incredible. What could it be? And my imagination started running wild. I thought it could be a new Xbox with extra controllers and extra games. I thought it could be a bunch of football equipment or basketball equipment. I thought it could be like a personal size vending machine to go in my room so that my siblings wouldn't steal my candy and stuff anymore. I thought it could be something great. And so Christmas morning rolls around, and I was super excited to open it. I ripped that wrapping paper off of it. I opened the box, and I will never forget what I saw. It was something that I did not expect at all. I opened that box, and inside was a gallon of purified water, a box of dehydrated scalloped potatoes, a 2-pound bag of white sugar, and a bunch of other things that I have just blocked out of my memory since that day. Now, you hear that, and I talk about it, and I know that might be the weirdest gift anyone in here has ever received, isn't it? Now, to be fair, there was a gift card in there somewhere. It was just flourishes, I guess, is what all the other stuff was. But you remember certain gifts that you get. Maybe you remember some because they were really, really good gifts. Or maybe you remember some because they were really bad gifts. Or maybe you remember some because they were really weird gifts. But you remember gifts that you get at Christmas. Tonight, I want to talk about the gift of Christmas. Not just any gift. I want to take a few minutes to talk about the gift of Christmas. The reason why we are gathered here tonight. And as we go through a few verses from the book of Matthew, we're going to see two things about the gift of Christmas. Here's the first thing. God sent you a gift. When I was younger, I worked for a lady who was older and she had grandchildren, but she didn't get to see her grandchildren often. They lived far away, and so because she didn't get to spend that much time with them, she became the world champion of care packages. She would get these boxes, and she would stuff all sorts of things in there. And I remember this because she would get me to help her do this. And she had a system. It was like a secret mission when we did it. She called it the buried treasure method. And what she would do is she'd open this box, and at the very bottom, she would put what kids want. Things like action figures, things like candy, things like video games, you know, all the sorts of things that kids would want. She'd put them at the very bottom, and then she would bury them. Bury them with things that you look at and you're like, oh, that is definitely a grandma type thing to send me. And what I mean by that is, like, she would put a six pack of just plain white tube socks in there. And she would put school supplies in there. And she would put, like, a sweater that was definitely knitted by grandma because it kind of smells like grandma's house in there. And she would put vitamins that taste like chalk in there. All of this stuff went on top of the good presents. And then she would close up the box. We would use like half a thing of packing tape to get it closed. And after we did it, she said, "There, they'll have to work to get what they want." And I was like, okay. And now all I can imagine is the first time they got one of these boxes. You know, they see that a package came in from grandma. They're excited about it. It has their names on it. And so they open it up. Their eyes are wide. They're excited. And they see socks and pencils. And they're like, well, thanks, I guess, grandma, for this stuff. But then once they started digging into it, they got past the laundry. They got past the crayons. They saw what they really wanted. They saw the action figures and the video games and the candy. And they knew at that point that this was a great gift from grandma. And I can imagine after they got that first one, they were excited to receive every gift after that. When a gift showed up on their doorstep that was from grandma, they knew it was going to be good. We like receiving gifts, don't we? I mean, you're sitting here today, maybe you're the type of person, you like receiving flowers, or Amazon gift cards, or a box of homemade cookies, unless they're oatmeal raisin. I hate oatmeal raisin. What's the point? Or maybe you're the type of person who, you like receiving a gift like noise-canceling headphones to survive Christmas with the company that's staying with you. You like receiving gifts, don't you? Well, there is a gift that you were given that's talked about in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Now, Christmas, you know this. Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus. And what we see in these verses about Jesus is that he came from God. He came from the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus doesn't have an earthly dad the way that we have an earthly dad. His dad is God the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus was sent by God. Now, I don't know what you think about on Christmas morning. Maybe you're thinking about all of the presents that you are going to unwrap. Maybe you think about all of the great food that you are going to eat that day. Maybe you are thinking about all of the memories that you are making. Maybe you are thinking about the interest rate on your credit card that you have ignored for the last 2 months that you're going to get very familiar with when that bill comes in. I don't know what you think about on Christmas morning. But here's what you should think about. God sent you a gift. He sent you a gift. It is Jesus. That's what we're remembering on Christmas. It's better than any toy, than any candy, than any gift card. God sent you a gift that no one else could possibly send you. But maybe you're here tonight and you think that that one thing that you wanted for Christmas is sold out. And so you don't think you're going to get what you want on Christmas. Or maybe you're here tonight and you told your parents what you wanted for Christmas and they said something like, that's way too expensive, or it's going to be a waste because you're just going to play with it twice and then never touch it again. And so you don't think you're going to get what you want on Christmas. Or maybe you're here tonight and what you want for Christmas is a new car. But I mean, let's be realistic. No matter what happens in the commercials, regular people normally don't get new cars for Christmas. And so you're probably not going to get that gift that you want on Christmas. Or maybe you're here tonight and you know that tomorrow you will be spending Christmas alone. And so there won't be someone to give you a gift. You won't get what you want on Christmas. Well, no matter what gift you get or you don't get, you have been given a gift by God. He sent you a gift. And it doesn't matter if you feel appreciated or forgotten by what you get or don't get tomorrow. It doesn't matter if you feel recognized or ignored by what you get or what you don't get tomorrow. God sent you a gift. So that's the first thing about the Christmas gift that I want us to see. God sent you a gift. And then there's a second thing. It's number two, salvation is the gift. What's the best part of Christmas for kids? No question, it's opening the presents, right? Especially, parents, you know when you're doing this, especially when you put presents under the tree weeks in advance. Because then for the 3 weeks leading up to Christmas, all they can think about are those presents. And they're wondering what's inside. They're looking at them. They're examining the wrapping paper. Sometimes they're picking up and shaking it and trying to figure out what it could be. They're daring their siblings to peek under the wrapping paper so that they don't get in trouble. They are trying to figure out what this gift is leading up to Christmas. And then when Christmas Day arrives, it is the best for them because they finally get to rip that wrapping paper off and see what the gift is. Well, God has sent us a gift. And he doesn't hide it under wrapping paper. Instead, he rips off any wrapping paper there is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." Jesus, who we celebrate on Christmas, is the gift from God. And by the way, back then, names really had meanings. And so the name Jesus means something. The name Jesus means God saves. That's why the angel told Mary and Joseph to name the baby Jesus, because this is what he says: "He will save his people from their sins." Salvation is the gift that God sent you. We've all done wrong. We have all sinned. We've all done bad. We have all done what we know we shouldn't do. We have all disobeyed our parents. We have all fought with our siblings, if we have them. We have all told a lie to get out of trouble. We have all been selfish. We have all lost our temper. That's what the Bible calls sin. And the punishment for sin is death. But isn't it true that sometimes we feel like, well, if I just try hard enough to be a good person, then it'll kind of make up for any of the bad things I've done? Isn't it true that we think, well, if I do enough good things, then all of my sin will just be canceled out? Now, we think that way, but that's not how it works. In fact, the Bible says it is impossible to do that. It kind of talks about sin this way. Let's say that you and I go out into the parking lot. We're standing out there and I say, "Hey, here's the thing. I will buy you whatever you want for Christmas, whatever it is. I will buy it for you. You just have to do one thing. If you do this one thing, you can pick out whatever you want and I'll get it for you. Here's the one thing. You have to stand flat-footed and you have to jump. You get one jump. No cheating. You can't like jump onto a helicopter or a truck or use special equipment. You get one jump. And you have to jump from here to Los Rancheros. That's all you have to do to get whatever you want." Now, you think you're going to be able to do that? I mean, just flat-footed, jump from here to Los Rancheros. By the way, for reference, if you don't know what Los Rancheros is, it's the best Mexican restaurant that we have in town, in my opinion. And it is 5 miles from right here. Now, you might be a really good jumper. You might be actually like a normal jumper. You can jump, I don't know, let's say 5 feet. Okay, that's pretty good. You might be a good jumper. And you can jump 10 feet flat-footed. Or you might be like a professional level jumper and you can jump 15 feet flat-footed. Or you might be like me. You can jump so well that you get 2 feet on a good day. You know, that's how far you can jump. Well, here's the thing. It doesn't matter how far you jump. Do you think anyone in here is going to be able to jump from our parking lot to Los Rancheros? There's not a chance. No one in here can jump 5 miles, not even close. Now, it doesn't matter if you are a better jumper than me. It doesn't matter if I can jump 2 feet and you can jump 15 feet. After it's all said and done, we're both still going to be in the parking lot. None of us can jump that far. We will not make it to the restaurant. That's kind of how the Bible describes sin and God's standard for our lives. God is holy. He is perfect. We are called as his creatures to be perfect, but none of us are. And so to get freedom from our sin, it's not that we are going to be able to do something to make up for it. That's impossible. Instead, we need to be saved. And here's the good news that we remember at Christmas. Jesus came from heaven to earth to save his people. Jesus came here to save us. Salvation is the gift. What we're remembering at Christmas is that Jesus didn't tell us to just try to jump farther. He didn't say train harder so that you can finally make that 5 mile jump. Instead, at Christmas, we remember that Jesus came down and picked us up to carry us. Salvation is the gift. So that's the second thing I want us to see about this gift of Christmas. Now, tomorrow, you will probably open a gift. I hope that you open a lot of gifts tomorrow and that you're happy with them. But as you do, as you open them, as you celebrate Christmas, remember this: God sent you a gift, and that gift is salvation. Let's pray together. Father, you are so kind, so generous to us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us gifts that we could never earn, that you have saved us, though there is nothing that we could have ever done to save ourselves. I pray, Lord, that as we go about our traditions tomorrow, maybe as we open gifts, as we spend time with family, as we eat, I pray, Lord, that you would remind our hearts that you have sent us a gift, and that gift is salvation, and let us worship you for it. We love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?